We're joined by Brandel Chamblee, Golf Channel analyst and former PGA Tour pro. Brandel, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're glad to track you down. I really admire your work on Golf Channel and glad to finally have you on the show here.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's been an interesting year thus far.
Absolutely has. We're about 3 months into the season, and so far, if you were to sum up the season, I think there's three big stories. Obviously, most recently was Tiger's victory last weekend at Bay Hill, and then the other two men are the two multiple winners so far this year, Phil Mickelson and Jeff Ogilvie.
Yeah, and it's good to see Jeff Ogilvie stepping it up. He's one of those guys that has the talent to, he's won a major championship, but he has the talent to contend in and challenge Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. And he has the kind of game where I think he could play very well at the Masters. I mean, he hits the ball high. He's comfortable moving in both directions. Tiger Woods at Bay Hill, he hit it great. I mean, he drove the ball very well, hit 60% of the fairways. And when he does that and he putts a lick, he's usually a lock to win. So the question is, which Tiger is going to show up at the Masters? I mean, is it the guy who's going to drive it well? And if he does, if he has any kind of short game, then nobody else has a chance. You know, he can win major championships playing about 60 or 70% of his game, even though the Masters has changed. I mean, he's only won one of the last six. It's more of a driving contest now than it was ever really meant to be. So the premium really is on driving the ball well.
Russ Evans with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic and joined on the line by Golf Channel analyst Brandel Chamblee. And Brandel, interesting you mentioned that, because I know you're a guy, and I agree with your sentiments, and I've heard you say this before on Golf Channel, that it seems like over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, the U.S. Open has become more like the Masters used to be, and vice versa for the Masters. It's more like what a U.S. Open used to be.
You know, I couldn't agree more. If I was a Jim Furyk, I'd be livid at what they did, or what they have done the last couple of years at the U.S. Open, this sort of graduated rough, if you will. I mean, the U.S. Open has always been about control and nerves, and the Masters has always been more about imagination and talent, creativity. They're kind of both morphing into each other. It's really sad to see what has happened at the Masters. I agree with them lengthening the holes to keep in step with the technological advances, but when they start encroaching upon the fairways with trees and with rough, they're really destroying the integrity of the initial design. I mean, Alistair McKenzie and Bobby Jones came about that design through a painstaking process. They wanted to encourage aggressive play both off the tee and into the greens. And what we've seen in the last couple of years is more of a demanding golf course off of the tee. And it takes some of the flair and some of the ebb and flow away from that golf course.
Brandel, one guy we haven't talked about yet, and he's been talked about a lot this season, although he hasn't won yet, but he certainly finished last year strong, and that's Sergio Garcia, yet to break through for a major victory. I believe the stat is something like 10 or 12 top 10s in majors in his career, but still not that win. Obviously, last year, the win at the Players was huge for him, and up until this point in his career, probably his biggest win of his career. Where do you think he'll finally break through? Is the Masters possibly a place for him that he could win his first major?
No, that's a good question. I mean, he's so inconsistent on the greens. He's very good around the greens. He's got marvelous hands, and he hits those short shots great. But he's so inconsistent on the greens. If he finally breaks through and has a good week with the putter, yes, he's knocked on the door way too many times in major championships not to have won one. I believe he's had 14 top 10s and 9 top 5s, and it's kind of similar to Phil Mickelson, who was 0 for 42 going into the 2004 Masters in major championships, but almost the same number of top 10s as Sergio. When you see that, they've been there way too much, and they're playing way too well in major championships not to eventually have it go their way. I would look for Sergio more in the British Open, where a sort of penetrating ball flight that he has gives him a little bit of a leg up on everybody else, but you never know. I mean, if he has the kind of putting week that he had at the Players a few years ago, or last year, rather, he could pull it off.
Right.
He certainly has the ability to work the ball and play well there.
Brandel, you mentioned Phil's breakthrough at the 04 Masters, 0 for 42 for him, and then he finally breaks through. And then for the next couple of years there, I mean, he picked off the 04 Masters to break his maiden. And then the very next year, he wins the 05 PGA Championship. And then in the very next major, he wins the 06 Masters. And he comes to Wingfoot, summer of 06, and we're looking at possibly 3/4 of the Grand Slam down if he wins wins that tournament. And we know, you know, he goes way wide left, and the rest is history, and he hasn't won a major since. He's looked pretty good this year, especially at CA at Doral. His short game was phenomenal, just 99 putts for the week. Where is he at going to the Masters?
You know, early on in the year, he hit it everywhere, and he played just atrocious golf. I was shaking my head, and I thought, you know, he was setting himself up for a very dismal year, and then boom, just like that, he turns it around with some unbelievable short game at the Northern Trust, shooting those rounds of 62, the first round of 63, the third round. You know, he's only gone into the Masters twice with multiple victories, once he finished seventh and once he won. So I think that, like I said earlier, we're setting up for, I think, what can be just a great Masters with Phil Mickelson with a lot of confidence, obviously very sharp with his short game, which sort of plagued him towards the end of last year. Tiger Woods will be a huge factor. I would bet the house that come Sunday late, we're all watching Tiger Woods and very likely Phil Mickelson. With those two in the hunt at the Masters, anybody else is just going to be gravy. So I think we're really set up for a battle. I mean, we've been wanting Tiger and Phil to come down head-to-head in a major championship. I think we're going to get it. I think we are poised to get it this year at the Masters.
Russ Evans with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic and joined on the line by Golf Channel analyst Brandel Chambly. And Brandel, another guy we're going to see at Augusta, and the first time in 7 years, hard to believe it's been since 2002, that Greg Norman played at Augusta National, but he's back this year thanks to his great finish at the British Open last year. What do we think we're going to see from him this year?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's been some nice finishes by players sub 50 in the Masters. Jack Nicklaus at 58 years old finished tied for sixth there. Sam Snead made a run. Ben Hogan in 1967 had a nice run right there. I mean, the oldest major champion of all time is Julius Burroughs in the PGA when he was 48 years old. The golf course has changed so much at Augusta. If it played like it was meant to play, if they had not, in my opinion, robbed the golf course of its ebb and flow, older players would be able to contend in that golf tournament. I think it is highly unlikely that Greg Norman will contend in the golf tournament because he's had a couple of early looks at it, and he has been pretty critical of it. Now, I mean, that to me, one, it's a little bit probably too long for him, but two, the fact that he's being critical of it, I don't think is going to help his chances when he gets there. He's not going to be in the greatest mindset if he's already going in there saying that it is too long for him. So, unfortunately, that's one of the worst parts about what's going on at the Masters, is that one of the great things about the Masters is that you get to see the champions of yesterday and the champions of, you know, down the road, because you used to see a lot of more amateurs in the event. And all of them had a chance to play well there because it wasn't particularly long and it wasn't so demanding off of the tee. And now then, it's just turned more into a brute force contest.
Yeah, 450 yards have been added to Augusta National since 2001. So no doubt about it, it is much longer and much more demanding of a course. And as you mentioned, it's really come down to more of a driving contest last couple of years. Joined on the line by Golf Channel analyst Brandel Chambly. And Brandel is also still a PGA Tour pro, competing here and there. And I know you played this year at Pebble Beach, Brandel. Is that your plan here in the next few years, to maybe play a couple events competitively along with doing the analyst work for Golf Channel?
Oh, I still love to play, and I would love to play a couple of events every year, one, because I enjoy it, but two, it sort of helps me keep my finger on the pulse of the game. I mean, I can watch it on television, and I can read about it in the periodicals and look at it on the computer, but I can spend an hour on the range and learn more than I ever could do anything else. But no, it's still fun to play. It's still fun to get out there. I'm just a little bit too busy. I have three kids, and when I'm not working, I'm usually chasing them around. So it's a tall order to try to sharpen the knife and go out and compete against the best players in the world.
If I'm not mistaken, last year in the fall series, you pulled double duty. You were playing in one of those fall series events, and then, like, after your round, 20 minutes later, you had makeup on and you had the earpiece in your ear, and you were on the set doing work for Golf Channel,
right?
Let's
not talk about the makeup, all right?
But that's where was that at?
That was at fries.com, actually. It was not last year, but the year before.
Oh, okay.
Nice enough to give me a spot. I was actually scheduled to work that week, so I went begging to the management of the Golf Channel. They said, oh, sure, you can play, but by golly, you're working as soon as you get off the air. You know, that's a little bit tough. You know, again, it is nice to play from time to time, but to have any chance of competing out there, I mean, you gotta have all day long to practice and prepare. But every now and then, you know, it is nice to get the clubs out and give it a whack and say hello to some old friends.
Russ Evans with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic and joined on the line by Golf Channel analyst Brandel Chambly. And Brandel, last thing for you before we let you go, and your network, Golf Channel, has some great programming. Now, I am not a huge fan of reality television. In fact, I think reality television is not a good idea. However, this new show on Golf Channel, Charles Barkley and Hank Haney, I am hooked. I've watched every episode so far, and the next one's coming up Monday night at 9 o'clock. Have you had a chance to see this? What do you think?
You bet. It's pretty easy watch. I mean, you just put the camera on Charles Barkley, I don't know, wherever he's at right now, and it would be entertaining. Put a golf club in his hand, and it's hysterical. I don't know who has the tougher job, Haney trying to fix Barkley's golf swing or Barack Obama trying to fix the economy. I think they're both in a state of disrepair that is mind-boggling. You know, Haney's got his hands full. I don't know if he'll fix his golf swing, but whether he does or not, you know, it's entertaining to watch.
Absolutely.
It's very funny. I mean, Haney plays, you know, kind of the straight guy, and, you know, he takes it pretty seriously, and he's really trying to help Barkley. One thing, I'm a little selfishly involved in this because I live in Scottsdale. Barkley lives here. I'd like to see him get his golf swing fixed because I'd like to see him play more golf. I'd like to see him play more charity events, and I'd like to see him around town. And I know that the game has been – it's painful for him to go out and play. I mean, you know, he's a fun-loving guy, and he can poke fun at himself. But, you know, when you got a golf game like that, it's no fun to sort of hit shots 20 yards in front of you and off houses and hit people and all that.
And, Brandel, even more frustrating for him is the fact that he used to be at one time a pretty good player. I believe he was a single-digit handicap at one point, maybe an 8 or a 9. So, you know, he's kind of regressed almost over the last 8, 9, 10 years. And I think that's a good example of when you get to a certain point and perhaps maybe you plateau, you start looking for anything that you can that'll get you to that next level. And maybe he took some advice from somebody and was trying to get to that next level, and instead of being positive, it was really negative for his game.
Well, that's one of the things that keeps all golfers up late at night, you know, just fear that they're going to completely lose their game. And he did. He completely lost his game, and I don't know if he'll ever get it back. I mean, he's got that that hitch in his downswing, and, you know, it just doesn't look like he's ever going to get it back. And, you know, I feel for Haney. I don't know how you would go about trying to get this guy back on track.
Well, through three or four episodes, I'll tell you what, through three or four episodes, it kind of looks like there is a little bit of progress being made. So I will definitely be tuning in and hoping to see Charles getting even better here as we go on into the summer. And obviously, it's going to be a great watch all summer long on the Golf Channel. And of course, we can watch you all summer long and all year long on the Golf Channel. Brandel Chambly, analyst for the Golf Channel, as well as a part-time PGA Tour pro. Brandel, thank you so much for the time. I want to make sure we talk to you again down the line.
You bet, Russ. Call me anytime. I certainly enjoyed it. The next couple of weeks are going to be a lot of fun. And we'll all be watching that. So I look forward to talking to you guys anytime.
Great stuff from Brandel Chambly, and that was a lot of fun.